Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
Happy New Year!
Yeah!
It's 2020 and we've got a whole bunch of cool things in store. But before we talk about, you know, what we're reading right now and our favorite things, I want to talk about our favorite books of last year. We have a display up in the store right now of staff favorites, and our listeners might have seen our social media posts with our stacks of books, which did not cover everything, I guarantee you. I want us to go a little more in depth on what our favorites were and why. So, Kelso, do you want to start?
Sure. First one I want to talk about is The Nix by Nathan Hill, which I read February of this past year. The plot is a man named Samuel Anderson Anderson gets a phone call from his estranged mother's lawyer asking him to interview his mother in order to get her out of a political scandal she's inadvertently set herself into by throwing a rock at a Trump-like presidential candidate. This is most likely my top three favorite books of all time.
Wow.
I've had a couple booksellers that I work with recommend this to me when I first started working here. It is incredibly entertaining. It's super funny. It's got strange mother-son relationships. It talks about ghosts. It's a tragic comedy about anger and sanctimony in America. It's so weirdly messed up and fantastic, and it's got connections to Norway, which, of course, is the reason why I really enjoyed it. So that was my top three favorite books of all time. I will gladly just try to shove this into every single person's hand who ever asks me what my favorite book is. So I read that in February.
Love that, too.
Yeah.
Great book.
The second book I wanted to pick is called Bunny by Mona Awad. I read that in June of 2019. Quick plot. Outcast Kit's invited to a smut salon by the most popular clique in her MFA program. Weird and gross body horror stuff starts to happen. I just really liked this book. I just keep thinking about this book over and over again. It's not for the faint of heart, but if you liked the movie Heathers, I think I've talked about it on this podcast before, you're really going to just really enjoy this book. Third book I want to talk about is The Escape Room by Megan Golden. I read this in August of 2019. I had a big layover when I was going on my vacation to Florida over the summer, and I needed something that was going to get my mind off of things. One of the things I really like listening to are thrillers. I really enjoyed The Escape Room. The plot of The Escape Room is four high-powered executive Wall Street investment bankers become trapped in an elevator, which they believe to be an escape room, but it's not. Dun, dun, dun! They must fight for survival while also trying to solve the puzzle and escape their doom.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's just like, the way I describe this book to folks is, it's kind of a popcorn book where you're not going to get any emotional depth like you would in like an award-winning book. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to read and like enjoy. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy books like that. The last book I want to talk about, which is completely different from The Escape Room, is called On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vaughn. Mm. I read this back as an ARC in March of this past year, and then I read it again in July of this past year. It's one of my favorite books because it's gotten a lot of critical acclaim. It had been nominated for a bunch of awards. It's a debut novel by a person of color and a queer author, which I don't know if that will mark some stuff off some people's reading lists for 2020. The narrator, Little Dog, is now in his late 20s. He crafts a letter to his illiterate Vietnamese refugee mother detailing a family history rooted in trauma, healing, and forgiveness. We will be reading this as well for our Gibson's Book Club as well, and it is 25% off the hardcover price.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great choice for book club.
And I know I've talked about this before as well on the podcast. I do highly recommend getting the Libro.fm audiobook, which is narrated by the author. Mm-hmm. The author is a poet, and he has a very good cadence to mm-hmm. how he talks.
Yeah, Ocean has a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those books that I keep coming back and thinking about, and I kind of just want to fold it up and just like place it in my heart. I love it so much. So those are my favorite books of 2019.
I love it. Hillary, have you narrowed down your huge list?
I have such a...
Hillary read like 93 books last year, you guys. And she loved all of them.
It's very hard to do this. You know, I'm very tempted to just like list like 10 of them that I liked a lot. But I'll talk about some that have really stuck with me. One is this book, Ask Again, Yes, by Mary Beth Keane. This is kind of a quiet book. I don't know that it made it onto anybody's, 100 best lists, maybe the New York Times. But it should have been. This is a real sleeper of a book, and I wish more people would read it. Mm. It is a very moving book about two families, cops families, who move out to the suburbs, and they're very good friends. And then things begin to kind of fall apart between the two families, except that the two children, a boy and a girl, are very best friends. One of the children's mother, it becomes quite mentally ill. And I don't want to spoil it, but she commits a terrible act against a member of the other family. Mm. And it just blows everything up. And then many, many years go by, and the young woman and the young man, who are now adults, meet again and wind up getting married.
Mm.
And then the rest of the book is sort of about how do you forgive somebody who has done something just terrible, and let them back into your life and back into your family. Mm. It's just a beautiful book. I would recommend it to anybody who sort of likes quiet family kind of novels. Literary fiction, beautifully written. The next thing I think I'll talk about is sort of in the same vein. It's Olive Again, which is Elizabeth Strout's book about Olive Kittredge. She won the Pulitzer Prize for Olive Kittredge, a bunch of linked short stories several years ago. And apparently Elizabeth Strout did not think she was going to write about Olive again, but then she couldn't get her out of her mind, and she did. And so Olive comes back. If you don't know who Olive is, she's a bit of a curmudgeon. School teacher in Maine. It's hard to describe. She's someone who is awful a lot of the time and then turns out to be a remarkable human being when she is called to be a remarkable human being. Mm-hmm. This takes Olive from where we left off with her to the end of her life, basically. But again, very moving in places, very funny in places. You'll laugh out loud at parts of this, and you will see yourself in this book. I challenge you not to, no matter what your age is. This link short stories again, just a really delicious, fun, and moving read. So then I think my favorite nonfiction of the year, and I had several, but I think this is my favorite, is Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Radden Keefe. This book, we don't seem to be able to keep in stock. It is an amazing piece of reporting about the Troubles in Northern Ireland. I've talked about it in the past on our podcast, but basically there's a mystery about a woman who got murdered probably by the IRA, and the mystery was never solved, and Patrick Radden Keefe takes it upon himself to solve the mystery, which he does. It reads like a thriller. There's a lot in here that I did not know about the Troubles in Ireland, and one reason it's an important book to read, I think, now is because one thing he discusses towards the end of this book is that if Brexit goes through, the Troubles are going to begin again. And Brexit has now gone through, pretty much. So this will definitely inform you about some troubling times to come. And then I want to mention a mystery that I liked very much. And when I read it, I did not realize that there was a prequel. This was the second in a series. It's called Heaven My Home by Attica Locke. And it takes place in Texas, sort of on the border of Louisiana, out in Lake Country. Mm-hmm. And there's a place there that has been traditionally inhabited by a black community that were runaway slaves, mm-hmm. and they've owned the land for years and years and years. And it's being gradually taken over by white supremacists.
Oof.
Against their will.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the children of these white supremacists goes missing. Mm-hmm. And it's about what happened to that child and what this has to do with the conflict between the black residents of this area and the white supremacists. Really a great look at a slice of society that I know nothing about. And the mystery was really good, and you don't have to worry, children aren't harmed, you know, if you're worried about picking it up because you think you're going to say, something terrible, it's not that book. But Attica Locke is an Edgar Award winner for her first book in the series, Bluebird. But really exciting woman of color writing mystery.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, which is great. So I guess I'll stop there. I mean, I have so many more, and if you look at our website, you'll see me holding a big stack of books that I also loved. But
yep.
I'll stop with these four.
Yeah. I, like Hillary, had so many favorite books this year. You know, I loved Once in Future by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy, who are coming later this year. It's gender-bent, queer King Arthur in space. It's everything you didn't know you needed in a novel. I loved The Need by Helen Phillips, which is a very scary and at times very weird thriller about paranoia and motherhood and other things that I won't even talk about because it'll give away a huge plot point. I loved Wanderers by Chuck Wendig, which I still haven't quite nailed down the way to summarize this book, but basically people start sleepwalking and you can't deter them from where they're headed or they will literally explode. Mm-hmm. And so people start to just follow them to see what's going to happen and where they're going, and you get different perspectives from people with them and scientists trying to figure it out, and it somehow is so captivating.
This is on my list as well.
Yeah, it is so good and so huge. It's such a great, huge book. Yeah, so I loved a lot of books. However, it should come as no surprise to anyone that my absolute favorite book of 2019 was The Starless Sea by Erin Morgenstern. In case there's any first-time listeners to the podcast, I'm just going to read my review of The Starless Sea. The Starless Sea is another exceptional novel from Erin Morgenstern, the author of The Night Circus. The Starless Sea is a love story to stories, to storytellers, and to lovers of stories. It is fairy tale, myth, mystery, adventure, romance, and so much more. It has depth. It has sweetness, it has sorrows, it has fate, it has heartbreak, it has love, it bends time and space, and most of all, it has stories, which are just stories, until they are more. Erin Morgenstern chooses every word with such care and precision, every sentence in this book could be read aloud to gasps of appreciation. Creativity, magic, and love flow through these pages like light through a window, settling delicately on each word, imbuing this story with a warmth and familiarity more commonly reserved for old friends. The diversity in The Starless Sea spans across multiple categories of humanity, bringing a refreshing amount of reality into this rich, fantastical narrative. Her alternating chapters weave myths and fairy tales throughout the main narrative and bring an added layer of mysticism and mystery to the whole. The Starless Sea is warm, glittering, golden honey. It's stories written on dust motes floating through a beam of sunlight. It's a forgotten verse to a song you heard years ago floating on a breeze. It's an adventure and a love story and a video game where all of the choices have been made for you by someone who is much better at playing the game. As a fan of fantasy, of love, of stories, and of Erin Morgenstern, I cannot recommend this book highly enough. So in The Starless Sea, Zachary Ezra Rollins discovers a story from his life written into a strange book that he finds in his campus library. And delving deeper into the mystery of how his story came to be in this book, he discovers a magical underground library. There's so much more to it than that, but I don't want to give any more away. It's a book with an interesting structure, alternating chapters of the main plot and chapters with short myths and fairy tales, and everything does tie in at the end. It's truly a book that all lovers of stories should read. It's sweet and warm and cozy and delicious, and when it's over, you'll just want to curl up with a heavy blanket and a cup of hot tea and sit in contented silence while you let it all wash over you, and then you'll probably want to read it all over again. So at the time that we're recording this, our event hasn't happened. However, at the time that you're listening to this, about 2 days ago, I got to sit down with Erin Morgenstern, and she, before her event, which I also got to be in conversation with her, she recorded a little interview for the podcast. So I'm going to upload that in its entirety in a couple of weeks, but I just wanted to include a short segment in this episode. So here is a teaser for my chat with Erin Morgenstern. Video games play a huge role in The Starless Sea, and I know that you're a big video game fan. I am someone who, I did not grow up playing video games, and I never really had a video game system. I have the Goose Game, the Untitled Goose Game on my computer. But that's sort of the extent of my knowledge. So, two-part question. What drew you to video games, and what made that transition into your books? Like, okay. Why do you think video games work so well in The Starless Sea?
I have that weird video game kind of genesis where when I was younger, I had, like, classic Nintendo, like, old school, like, Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, like, original Legend of Zelda. And then I didn't have a gaming system because it was that point where when the next gen started coming out with, like, the Super Nintendo, my parents were like, you already have one. Like, so I didn't get those. And then I kind of fell off the video game wagon. I played Myst on my computer in high school.
I did have Myst.
And that was sort of the one gaming thing I did. And Myst is still, like, one of those formative video game things for me. And I love that. That also probably very much feeds into my, like, exploratory ideas where I get, like, really hung up on, like, how you navigate a space. I'm thinking about it now. It's probably a lot of it is Myst's fault. Just that idea of, like, you can go this way and go down this path and you find this thing. And, like, or you could go another way. Like, the way you navigate space in my imaginary spaces is very Myst-like. But then I didn't play anything for the longest time, and then it wasn't until I was, like, in my 20s, and I kind of would do that thing where you'd, like, watch other people play video games and not really play anything myself, because video games suddenly looked way fancier than I was used to, and I was just like, oh, this looks, like, actually difficult. But then I started playing more when I met my husband, and, like, he would actually make me try things. Like, I think a lot of people who, like, just enjoy being observed and don't want to encourage other people to try things, but, like, Adam would, like, actually make me play things, and it didn't take me long to realize, oh, you're just pressing, like, two buttons. This is not that complicated. It looks fancy and complicated on the screen because you're executing some, like, sort of fancy move, but it's just, like, you just press the A button, like, twice. That's fine. I can probably handle this. I think Skyrim was probably the one that I got into, which, is very much a big open-world RPG. Like, kind of, you can go do what you want, and if you don't want to deal with fighting these things right now, you can go off and do something else, which is very much myself. Just being able to walk in more than two directions in a video game was, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
You're used to the side-scrolling, like, 8-bit things. And then I kind of got more into it when I was working or trying to work on this book because I find it a little hard to read while I'm trying to write, which is really frustrating because I am a big reader and I like to read. But, like, when you're just looking at words all day, like, I wanted to do anything that wasn't look at words, but I still wanted to stay engaged with something, and I didn't want to just, like, sit and watch television or sit and watch movies. And so I started playing more video games because I thought it was a great way to consume story while still feeling like I was actively doing something, and, like, I could think about book things, like, in the back of my head while I'm, like, traversing to get from, like, quest A to quest B. And while I was doing that, I was playing a game called Dragon Age Inquisition, which is one of my very favorite games. But it's very much a narrative-driven role-playing game where the choices you make as a character, as the player character, affect how the story goes. Like, if you make one choice, like, you literally can't play this other chunk of the game. Like, and it very much defines the arc of the story by the choices that you make. You have all, like, your non-player characters who have, like, approval meters. Like, so they will not be friends with you if they don't like what you're doing.
Whoa!
Like, it's the detail level from a narrative standpoint is fascinating to me. Like, all the butterfly effects you can get from making different choices. So I was thinking about this in narrative structure while I was already working on a book that was about stories and story structure and fairy tales and myth retellings. And I had that sort of light bulb moment where I felt like a ding-dong because I'd already had Zachary, who's the protagonist of the Strelacy, in my head. I knew he was a grad student. I knew he was studying something that was probably story related. And I knew I didn't want to make him an English major because I thought it was a little too on the nose. So I had that moment while playing Dragon Age thinking, oh, you can probably get advanced degrees in game study now.
Yes.
And you, of course you can.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what a perfect thing for him to be studying because I wanted it to feel kind of old and new at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being that perfect new layer to put on top of this book because I thought I was writing a book about books when I started because I love books about books. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly started to morph into like stories that weren't just books and fairy tales and myths and things. And then I started thinking about, well, what's the difference between a book and a story? And it started coming back to stories are malleable and stories can be changed, and like the format and that idea of like retellings are different versions of like video games, and it all kind of layered so nicely. It really was one of those things that, like, you talk about like the jigsaw puzzle pieces fitting. It fits so well. Yeah. It just seems silly that I hadn't had it there the whole time. And I like now being able to, like, babble about video games when I'm promoting the book because I think there's a lot of people who have this impression that, like, all video games are Halo. And, like, all video games are, like, guys in suits shooting things. And I really do think there's so much innovation, especially innovation on a storytelling level, going on in games right now. Like, I've had some of the, like, best, like, storytelling moments that I've experienced in the last, like, 5 years while playing video games. Mm. And I do think it's that sort of thing where just, like, there's probably, like, a book in a various genres for every reader. I think there's probably a game for every player.
I think you're right. Okay, she's the coolest. And I love her, and I will maybe stop gushing about her potentially in future episodes. I don't know. We'll see. So now that we've talked about our favorite books of last year, let's talk about what we're reading now and what we're excited about this year, because 2020 is going to be a good year. Who wants to go first?
So I just finished a book called Such a Fun Age.
Mm-hmm.
By, yes, Kylie Reed. And it's going to be one of these hot books, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's already like a Reese Witherspoon book club pick. Mm-hmm. It's on like the USA Today's book club or what have you.
Yeah, it's on like the Indie Next list.
Yeah.
This is going to be a big book.
It's going to be a huge book. So I read it during New Year's Eve because, you know, I'm got nothing else better to do on New Year's Eve. So I read it in its entirety on New Year's Eve, and then I reread it again. It's just one of these books where I don't want to even give the plot because I don't want to give too much away. Mm-hmm. But it is a book about race and class and transactional relationships and just white privilege and white saviorism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all neatly tied up into this narrative. So you have these hard, heavy-hitting topics, but it's written in a way where it's accessible to everybody who would read this book. It's one of these, like, really good book club picks, and I feel like everyone definitely needs to read this. It's my January staff pick.
Mm.
So it is 20% off the hardcover price. And it's just fabulous. Come in and I'll tell you more about it if you'd like. Read my review. It will be up on our website. So, yeah, that's Such a Fun Age. I just finished. I'm listening to on Libro.fm Lindy West's The Witches Are Coming, which is her secondary book of essays. She's the woman who wrote Shrill, which is also made into a Hulu TV show. She's really funny. She reminds me of Samantha Irby. So fans of Samantha Irby, we're going to love this book of essays. It's read by the author, and she's just one of the funniest people. And I kind of picked this out because I was at my son's basketball practice, and I was really bored, and I wanted something to be, like, really quick. And books of essays are kind of one of my things that I like to read. And this talks about everything between the hashtag MeToo movement to cat memes. She talks about cat memes. I think my favorite essay she talks about is her weird, complicated love-hate relationship with Adam Sandler movies, which was fabulous because... Lindy West and I, she's a couple years older than me, but I grew up with a lot of Saturday Night Live, and she talks a lot about the problematic movies that Adam Sandler wrote, and it was really funny. So I do strongly suggest that book. The last one I'm currently reading right now, I'm going to start, is Mostly Dead Things by Kristen Arnett, who one of my goals this year in reading is to read more queer authors. Kristen Arnett is a lesbian author from South Florida, and she wrote this really darkly funny book about a female taxidermist who has a love affair with her brother's wife, so her sister-in-law. And one day she goes in to go help her father with the taxidermy place, and he has committed suicide. And the way her mom copes with him committing suicide is she takes the taxidermied animals and puts them into these provocative situations. And somebody recognizes it as high art.
Oh, my God.
So then she starts to develop a relationship with the art buyer in the book. Oh. It's just a dark, funny love letter to South Florida. And I love it so much, and it's about complicated lesbian relationships, also written by a lesbian, and I'm like, I can't wait to read this. Mostly Dead Things, a novel by Kristen Arnett. It came out this last year. Also, follow her on Twitter, because she is just, like, super ridiculously funny.
Oh, I bet she would be.
So that's what I'm currently reading. So, for my anticipated reads of this year, I have a lot, because all I do is read ARCs, and I just, like, cannot contain my excitement for a lot of books. But again, I have narrowed it down to about 3 or 4, so we're going to start with that. And I have a couple honorable mentions at the end, which I won't talk about as much. The first book that I'm really excited for is called Death in Her Hands by Otessa Moshfegh. That will be out on April 21st of this coming year. The plot of this book is Vesta, a 72-year-old reclusive widow, and her dog, Charlie, find a slip of paper confessing a murder left in the woods of her newly purchased property. Vesta becomes obsessive about the note and attempts to solve the murder, even though there is no body and no other evidence to suggest a murder was committed. I have a major crush on this author. I read all of her backlist this year, hence the reason why I did want to put all of it in the most favorite books, because I didn't want you guys to know how obsessed I was with her. I finished this book in a sitting, and it was just fabulous. I just want to, like, eat it and just put it in my body, and it would be in me forever, because I just loved it so much. If you like mystery mixed in with your literary fiction, you're going to love this book. I try to compare books to movies that people like when they come in the store and they ask me for suggestions. Death in Her Hands is going to be one of those books if you liked Hereditary, Ooh. The Lighthouse, Midsommar. It is one of these, the entire suspense of this book relies on the question, did this crime actually happen? And we are only getting one point of view, which is Vesta's point of view. And she is just in her head all the time. She's a recluse. She's an elderly lady. She just comes up with these theories that solely are not rooted in reality. You just feel really claustrophobic, and you yourself reading it become increasingly paranoid as to if something is real and something is not. And it's just a really well done book, and I love it.
I just added that to my want to read list.
So I really highly recommend this book. It has, like, spun my head around at least 5 or 6 times. It's fabulous. Second book I want to talk about is Quality Land by Mark Yule Kling. That is out January 7th, so it will be out by the time this episode airs. The plot of this book is a dystopian satire that answers the question, what would happen if hypercapitalism ran the country? This is a world in which tech reigns, the news is delivered, tailored for each person, available with and without special offers. People are sorted into levels, and their rank can go up and down. Algorithms are infallible. In Quality Land, for the first time, an android is running for president. His opponent is a wealthy reality star, and everything you get comes from the shop. All of it. There is no ordering because the shop's algorithms already know what you want before you ask for them. You pay with a kiss on your quality pad, and upon delivery, the drone automatically takes unboxing videos because people love unboxing videos. You have to rate the drone, and then the drone will leave. If you don't rate the drone follows you around. This book was originally published in Germany and is now being translated into English and is now out in the U.S. It is super funny. It's like Kurt Vonnegut meets Monty Python, Asimov meets Terry Pratchett. It's really, I laughed out loud laughing at this book. I gave it to my husband as an ARC. He could not put it down. I could, tears are running down his face. It's super funny. It's excellent escapism, especially for now, because it feels like the world is just collapsing in on itself. And like, Amazon is taking over the world. And it's just this book about what would happen if mega corporations took over this world.
Oh my God, I want that book.
It's super good. So that is out now, as from when you're listening to this. The last book I want to talk about is called We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry. That is out March 3rd of this year. And I have talked about it on the podcast before. This is the 1989 Danvers, Massachusetts high school field hockey team that makes a pact with some dark forces in order to get into the championship playoffs. Come for the nostalgia, stay for the powerful female friendships and witchcraft. The author grew up on the North Shore, so it's kind of like a quote-unquote local or regional author. This was a great book. I loved it so much. It was like fun nostalgia trips for me, and it's just this quirky little book, and I loved it. Honorable mentions, last book on the left, which is by the last podcast on the left. I've been a rabid fan of Last Podcast for the last 8 years, ever since they started. I'm a huge fan. This book is coming out April 7th of 2020. If you're a fan of Last Podcast on the Left, their book is coming out. You can pre-order with us, and I can't wait. They're on book tour, and I won't be able to see them. But I love this. I love them so much, and I can't wait for this book to come out. If you don't know about Last Podcast on the Left, they talk about it's a joke comedy podcast about serial killers and the occult and things like that. Another book, and I promise this is the last one, Action Park, Fast Times, Wild Rides, and the Untold Story of America's Most Dangerous Amusement Park by Andy Mulvale and Jake Rawson. That is out June 30th, 2020. This is about the park in New Jersey, which got shut down and has a cult following of people dying in this park, getting seriously injured. This park had been through a lot. This park went through bankruptcy, and it's just like this really fun nostalgia trip for people who lived in New Jersey. Everybody in New Jersey has a story about how they chipped their tooth or broke their arm on some ride in Action Park, and there's a book that is coming out about the park, and it's just going to be such a fun book to read.
Oh my God, dude, I literally want to read every single book you just talked about.
And with that, I am done. I promise.
Go ahead. Lord. So you mentioned reading sort of more authors of color, more queer authors, and I wanted to talk for a quick second before I get into sort of what I'm reading right now, what I'm excited about. The Book Riot Read Harder Challenge. I know a few of us here are doing it. It's my first time actually participating, but I suddenly have friends who work for Book Riot, so I was like, okay, cool, I'll try this. and it is a challenge where there are 24 categories that challenge you to read outside of your comfort zone. And some of these categories are things like read a mystery where the victim isn't a woman, read a play by an author of color and or queer author, read a historical fiction novel not set in World War II, read a doorstopper over 500 pages published after 1950 written by a woman. There are just so many great examples like that. And I'm really, really excited to be participating in that this year. I'm on as of recording this, so we're like still in the first week of January, I'm on my third book of the year, and so far 3 for 3 are authors of color.
Nice.
So I'm like pretty excited for this challenge, and I'm going to put some links in the description for sort of the overall, like all the categories, but also Book Riot created a spreadsheet, a reading log, to track all of your reading of the year, and then specifically with one portion for the reading challenge. And it's a really, really cool, comprehensive spreadsheet that spits out charts and stats and all kinds of really cool stuff. So if you're a geek for data, like I know some of us are, you're going to love this. you're going to love this spreadsheet. So I'm going to put the links to that in the description. Books that I'm reading right now. So I'm also reading Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. It is, oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. like Kelso said, it's a really phenomenal book that looks at race and class and those divisions. And without giving anything away, basically it opens with a woman who is a person of color. She is a babysitter, and she takes the little girl to the grocery store, and the little girl is a white little girl, and the grocery store security accuses her of kidnapping this little girl, and that's where it opens, and it just keeps going from there. And there are moments of levity, there's moments of humor, there's some romance, like there are some light moments, but ultimately the tension of the race division and the class division never really lets up, and it is really phenomenal. I've been listening to the audiobook of it, and it is really, really good. So that one I highly recommend. That one's already out. I'm also reading a book called The Unwilling by Kelly Braffett, which comes out February 11th. This was a book that Erin Morgenstern told me I had to read, so that's why I picked it up. This is her favorite fantasy.
If Erin Morgenstern told you to jump off a cliff,
I probably would. Listen, she looked me in my face and said, "You have to read The Unwilling." And I went, "Okay." it's a really interesting fantasy by Kelly Braffett. There are a couple of main characters who, one is, he's royalty, he's the sort of heir to the throne, and his counterpart is this girl, they call her the Foundling, because no one knows how she ended up at the palace, they just know that the queen adopted her because she kept losing babies, and so she adopted this Foundling girl, and what no one except like 4 people know is that the boy and the girl share a bond where they can feel everything that the other person feels.
Huh.
Pain, pleasure, all of it. If you make a mark on the boy, the girl gets the same mark. The person who gets the whatever pain or whatever firsthand,
mm-hmm.
feels it more strongly or has, you know, takes longer to heal or, you know, feels it more intensely, but the other person still, you know, will get scars,
mm-hmm.
or, so for example, one character gets burned and the character who gets burned has like the really raw, terrible burns. The other person almost immediately just has the scars. Mm. And so you have this really interesting bond that sort of the palace has kept secret from everyone. And so everyone outside of the city walls thinks, oh, that, you know, the people in power are just so nice adopting this young girl. When in reality, like, they can't get rid of her because they can't risk anything happening to the heir. And it is a fascinating story of royal politics and also magic, and there are some other pieces that I don't want to give too much away, but it's really interesting. It is a doorstopper. This is my read harder doorstopper. It's like 600 pages. It's a long book, but it's really captivating, and some of the language is just so gorgeous. There's a few lines where I just stopped and I just kept reading the line over and over again because it was just so perfect. So I'm loving that, and I'm really excited for that to come out next month. I'm also very excited for this book that I have in my hands that Kelso is dying over right now.
Okay.
I'm currently holding Harrow the Ninth by Tamsin Muir, which, for those keeping track, is the sequel to Gideon the Ninth, which we all loved. It comes out June of 2020. I literally haven't even cracked it open because I know that the second I do, I'm going to stop reading everything else until it's done, and I have a few other things that I have to finish reading. So it's just been sitting on my bedside table looking at me for, like, a couple weeks now.
And having this book look at you at night is kind of a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's covered with skeletons.
There's definitely skeletons and a necromancer.
And Hera looks really scary.
I'm excited. So, yeah, I am.
Lesbian necromancers in space.
Part two.
I am so, so excited to read that book. Some of the other ones that I've recently finished that I really, really loved. I just finished Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson, which I know Kelso read. I actually
think
Michael
read
it.
I have not read that yet.
You're
going to
love it. It is such a sweet... I thought it was going to be hilarious because the premise is that this girl gets hired to be a nanny for these two kids who, when they get upset, they burst into flames. and they are completely unharmed. Their clothes are not unharmed, but they are unharmed. So I thought this was going to be a really, like, uproariously funny book. And it's really not. It's really sweet. It's a really sweet story of family and, like, chosen family and discrimination and sort of hierarchies within family and half-sisters and half-brothers and stepchildren. And it is so good. And there are, yes, funny parts. Because, yes, the children burst into flames. But, no, I...
We all have children who do that occasionally. Yeah. That metaphor is so apt.
It is so perfect. They just get really angry and their faces get all red and they just... Oh, it's perfect. So I really loved that one. I also recently read The Binding by Bridget Collins, which we've all read that now. We've talked about that on the podcast a few times, but that's the one that's people's memories can be bound into books so that they can forget. It's a lot like Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. It is heartbreaking. At times, it is very hard to read. It is gorgeous. It is a really beautiful book. I loved that one. I finally read Magic for Liars, which Elizabeth was so nice. She let me borrow her ARC.
I just read that, too.
For much longer than she wanted me to.
I'm so glad everybody read it. Just love that book.
It was really good.
So good.
It was really good. It was totally, you know, one of those things where they say, oh, it's, you know, for everyone who didn't get their Hogwarts letter. Like, no, this really is.
Yeah.
It's like a very bitter woman whose sister got to go to this magic school and she got left behind because she wasn't magic, and so now she's a PI and she's solving a murder that happened at a magic school where her sister works. And it's a great mystery, it's funny at times, it's got some great romance, and it's got awesome magic, and I liked it a whole bunch. And then the last book I want to talk about is another one that I am so looking forward to. This was one that was recommended to me by Liberty Hardy, who works at Book Riot. She writes for Book Riot, and she has the All the Books podcast. It's called The Return by Rachel Harrison. It comes out March 24th. In this book, a woman goes missing, like, without a trace. She, like, goes hiking and then disappears. Nobody is found. Her family and friends mourn her, but one of her friends, her best friend, is like, I don't believe that she's dead. I think she's alive. I think she's out there somewhere. She's like, she just does this. She does this for attention. Like, she disappears just to see if we'll notice. And she's right. 2 years later, the woman, poof, is back. Like, no explanation. She has no memory of what happened. She sort of remembers going for the hike and then nothing. And so this group of friends decides, okay, we're gonna go on this like weekend retreat to this quirky hotel where every hotel room has a different crazy wacky theme, and we're going to bond and we're going to just welcome her home and it's gonna be great. And it is at first, sort of, except that whoever came back is not who went missing. It's real creepy. It's real dark. It's a good mystery. There's some magical realism. It's real good.
You're making the hair stand up on the back of my neck. This sounds very
This
creepy.
Is a book that maybe don't read at nighttime.
Oh, is this like The Changeling by Victor Levesque?
There's like shades of that.
Okay.
It's very good. I'm pretty sure I read this in one sitting. It's pretty short. It goes by very, very quickly. The characters, you kind of like love to hate them, and like things come out that you're just like, I just want to smack you, and like clearly this isn't your friend. But maybe it is. I don't know. Like, it's this mystery unfolding, and it is really, really good. So I am very excited for that book to come out in March. March 24th. So if you like scary books, read that book. It is excellent. Hillary, what are you excited for? What have you been reading?
Well, I have four things I want to talk about. Two are books that are coming out in January. One is American Dirt by Janine Cummins.
Yes!
Who is going to
She's
be
coming.
Here.
She's coming!
Which is a big deal because this book has been highly anticipated. Everybody's talking about it in advance. I mean, she's blurbed by, on the back of this arc I have here, by John Grisham, Stephen King, Julia Alvarez, Tara Conklin, and Dawn Winslow.
No big deal.
this book is, it is terrifying, it is moving, it is about a woman who owns a bookstore in Mexico, whose husband is a reporter, an editor at a newspaper, who writes some articles about a man who is the head of a cartel, who just happens to be a very good friend, unbeknownst to the husband or the wife, who doesn't realize he's the head of the cartel. He comes to the bookstore. He's a really good friend of the woman who owns the bookstore. First page, this guy's cartel has walked into the main character's niece's quinceanera, and they murder 16 people, and she manages to hide with her son.
Wow!
While this is happening, and one of the people killed is her husband.
Oh!
And this is revenge, partly on her for not falling in love with the head of the cartel, and partly on him for writing these articles about him being a criminal.
Mm.
So she has to go on the run. She has to get to the United States to get to safety. And this is a really harrowing book about what it's like to be a migrant, trying to make it out of Mexico into the United States now. Highly recommended. I do think there might be a little brouhaha, I don't know. Janine Cummins is not, in fact, Mexican. Mm. She is the granddaughter of a Puerto Rican woman who also was an immigrant. And she talks about how she was hesitant to write this book, but she met Mexican women who said, this book needs to be written.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
So Dawn Winslow called it A Grapes of Wrath for Our Times.
Wow.
High praise, and I think it deserves it. It's very well written, and it's hard to put down once you start reading it.
So she'll be here Thursday, March 5th at 6 p.m. I think that's going to be a really huge event. It's getting a ton of buzz.
Yep.
I have the audiobook of it, so I'm going to be listening to that soon, and I'm really excited for it.
So that's all coming out in January. The second one that comes out next week, or, well, it's going to be in the past, I guess, but January 7th, is a book that I read months ago as an ARC that I just randomly picked up, but it is terrific. It's called Long Bright River. It's by Liz Moore. It is a book about drug addiction and family. The main character is a cop, a woman in Philadelphia, who has a drug-addicted sister who has gone missing. And the cop is afraid that she has been killed by a serial killer who's preying upon prostitutes who are drug-addicted. Oh. I don't want to give away any more than that about the plot, because it takes quite a few twists and turns, and it turns out to be a very different book than the one you start reading, than you think you're reading. Just an excellent book, and it was just recently picked up, I think, by Good Morning America for their book club. So definitely pick that one up. And then a couple that are coming out in February that are very quirky. One is by Jess Kidd. It's called Things in Jars. This is a book for people who liked Sarah Perry's The Essex Serpent. It is, the main character is Bridie Devine. She is a detective in Victorian London. And she's being followed around by the ghost of a boxer who assists her in her investigations. I know that sounds just so twee and silly and ridiculous. Bear with it. It is really worth it. She's investigating the kidnap of a child named Christabel Berwick, who is a little girl who turns out to probably be a mermaid, who is not actually this man's child. And so there's this plot of where did this child come from? What is she? She has sort of magical powers. There's a Victorian circus involved. There are all kinds of sort of underclass Victorian people, as well as, you know, high muckety mucks. Just fascinating, but quirky and funny. It has a real nice lilt to it. It's full of fascinating little details, like every time this little girl is in a room, snails appear climbing up the walls. Just crazy things like that. Very, very entertaining, very worth reading.
Awesome.
The other one I want to recommend is Gin Patrol on the Purple Line. Gin is spelled D-J-I-N-N, so like a genie. This takes place in the slums of India. There's a little boy who has two very good friends. Children from their slum begin disappearing, and they decide they're going to play detective and they're going to figure out what's happening. And so it starts out as sort of like, Scooby-Doo in the slums of India. And then it gets darker and darker and darker. And I was shedding a tear by the time I got to the end of this book. It is beautifully written by a woman who was born in southern India and lived there for many years. And so she captures all of the little details, like what people are eating and seeing and smelling. And it's about class. It's about people who a society has decided are discardable. It's about clash between Muslim and Hindu people. It's about a loss of innocence, you know, children who think the world is like what it is on television, that that mystery shows solve crimes, and then realizing, yeah, that's not real life. But it's also about people who are just suffering in crushing poverty coming together and really banding together and making demands from the government and the wealthy. And it's funny and ultimately heartbreaking, but a beautifully written book, and I highly recommend it. This is also going to be coming out in early February. So that's it.
Awesome.
What did I say? Deepa Anapara is the author. Deepa Anapara.
Thanks. So many good books, so little time. Can't even handle it. Before we wrap up, I do want to give a shout out. We have new Gibson's merch. Gibson's partnered with a local company called Who Doesn't Want That? And they do all custom things. And so we currently have some hoodies. We have a couple of types of mugs. We have tote bags and so much more. There's kids' shirts and onesies. And we're going to be doing even more things with them this coming year. So definitely come into the store and take a peek at some of our new Gibson's merch. I'm really proud of it. I like it a lot. We worked really hard to come up with a cool, like, casual logo, and I'm excited. So come check that out and come rep your Gibson's merch. And who knows, maybe we'll make some laydown merch too.
Yeah. So if customers want to come in, we don't have a hoodie or what have you in style for them, can they pre-order, quote unquote, any yes. size they need?
Yeah. So we can, because this company is local, mm-hmm. and they do everything kind of right in their store, for most items, we can just place an order
okay.
for them. Some things, if we haven't had it yet, mm-hmm. then we won't know pricing. But
yeah.
anything that we've already carried in the store, if we're out of a certain size, or you know, if you wanted a ceramic mug but we only have camp mugs, we can place orders for that, and it will take about a week to come in, maybe less. So I am so excited for that. Okay, coming events. We are back in the swing of things. We've got so many events coming up. I'm going to talk about just a couple of them. This Thursday, January 30th, Mike Irizoni, the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team Whoa. And scorer of the gold medal winning goal against Russia,
Whoa.
Is coming to Gibson's to present his first book, The Making of a Miracle, and to tell how a team of college kids and unsigned amateurs beat the elite Soviet hockey team when no one gave them a chance. I am so excited for this event. This, you know, I was raised a hockey fan, so this is right up my alley, and oh my god, like,
you guys are too young to remember this.
Oh yeah, I was negative 10 when this happened, but I know the story.
Oh, let me tell oh. you, yes, I'm a hockey girl too, oh. and it was just, I just can remember just like screaming. So I'm definitely going to go to that event and say, oh.
Yay. This is going to be, I'm so getting a signed copy for my dad. He is a huge, huge hockey fan. He went semi-pro, and I'm so excited. So that is January 30th. I think that's at 6 p.m., so definitely come to that. It's going to be amazing. And then next month, in February, we've got Blind Search with Paula Munier on Tuesday, February 4th at 6 p.m., and then on Thursday, February 6th at 6 p.m., Michael Cameron Ward will be here presenting Sketches of Lee. You can check out all of our events on our events calendar, on the website. There's so many. If I listed even just the next, like, 3 weeks, we'd be here all night. As a reminder, our listeners can still use our code LAYDOWN at checkout when signing up for a Libra FM membership, and you'll get 3 audiobooks for the price of 1 credit. They're an amazing company. I know we talk about them all the time, but we really, really love this company. We love what they stand for. They are a small company. Their customer service team is like 3 people. It's like Mark, Stephanie, and Nick. We know them. They do really wonderful things for indie bookstores. They really support indie bookstores. They've got some cool new t-shirts. I just bought a few t-shirts for myself. They're really good to booksellers. You know, they send us advanced listening copies so that we can tell you guys about them.
That's how I read 93 books a year.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's how I get through so many books every year as well. And we really, really love them, and we're really grateful that they've allowed us to have this special code so that you listeners can get a special deal. They're really phenomenal. So that's Laydown at checkout when you sign up for a membership. So take advantage of that. They are fantastic. Okay. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we'll put all those links in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye.
Bye.